Welcome to Highly Questionable. I am Dan Lebatard. That is Mina Kimes, L. Duncan, and the one who couldn't do the thirst drinking thing before we started the television show is Pablo Torre. Let's get started.
I need my bubbles.
Should we all recklessly speculate about Antonio Brown working out with Russell Wilson?
I imagine that Seahawks fan and football nerd Mina Kimes is very excited about this. Over the last 10 years, basically since the LeBron decision, the transaction has become something that feels sometimes bigger and better than the action. And so, because of that, I would happily go the rest of my life without seeing Antonio Brown play another snap of professional football if every year until he and Tom Brady are 80, I can wonder if the workout means that that piece is going to fit with DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has never had tools like this. So here is Antonio Brown, apparently still in that controversial Raiders helmet, working out with Russell Wilson. And how exciting was this for Mina? Yes, because Russell Wilson has never had weapons like this. You put this guy with DK Metcalf, it's very exciting to think about.
So this is actually the third workout video we've overanalyzed this offseason with Antonio Brown. He worked out with Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson. I have no idea if Seattle is actually interested in signing him, but I know these videos are going to keep happening because Antonio Brown is one of the most talented wide receivers to ever play the game. He is a Hall of Fame caliber receiver. He would be better, as Dan said, than any receiver Russell Wilson has ever played with. He is also under investigation for sexual misconduct by the NFL. He was cut by the New England Patriots, actually not because of that investigation, but because texts surfaced of him allegedly threatening one of his accusers. That's why he's not in the league. I realize last year feels like 300 years ago in today's timeline, but that happened. It's not because he's wacky and he wears a crazy helmet. It's because there's an active investigation. I feel like we keep forgetting that every time these videos surface.
Yeah, at one point, Dan, he also had the Raiders helmet on and his Steelers pants, which is weird because he probably had the most acrimonious split with both of them. Meanwhile, there's no sign of those Patriots. I think this is just a perfect storm. Like, I think that the receiving core for Seattle, and forgive me here, Mina, is probably very undervalued or underappreciated. And I also think it's because everybody knows Pete Carroll likes to take a walk on the wild side as it relates to, you know, personality-driven players. We've seen it with Marshawn Lynch. We've seen it with Josh Gordon, who, by the way, could or could not be playing for the Seahawks this year as well, and Percy Harvin. But to Mina's point, I think more than anything, this is just a glaring reminder of how slow the NFL has been to investigate this Antonio Brown situation. He's already wrapped up his court case with the delivery driver who he may or may not have assaulted, who knows, because he pled out. But I don't understand why we're at this point where, for the sake of everyone that's interested in signing him, and hell, for the sake of us as pundits and even Antonio Brown, figure out what you're going to do with the man so that at the very least his future is not in total and complete limbo.
It is so telling that the reason he's not in the league, as you guys have said, is because he has an addiction, a crippling addiction to his cell phone. And to social media, basically, that's why teams don't trust him. It's not because of the actual bad stuff you guys just described. All of which makes something else especially sad about this, because you will notice that this was posted by Antonio Brown. It was not posted by Russell Wilson. And this is just pathetic, right? There is a bizarro, like, social media sugar daddy bizarro dynamic here, where Antonio Brown loves to post about how he's working out with all of these very famous, very accomplished celebrity quarterbacks, but they don't want to reciprocate. Like, go look at Russell Wilson's account right now. Antonio Brown is not on it. And for a guy who is always on his phone, man, that has to hurt.
Is it fair for NFL teams to ask fans to sign waivers to attend games this season?
I know we've all heard the expression, it's a business around sports, and no matter how much mythologizing we love to do around sports, it has never been quite this laid bare that football is a cutthroat business, asking their players to come through one kind of risk in order to sustain the risk that they sustain in football, and now just telling their customers, and if you'd like to watch it, you're liable, not us. It is cold, but it is the transaction. We allow this sport to get away with its greed. It's bare, naked greed at every turn, even removing the fans and putting sponsors now on the field so that they can recoup some of their money. The only time we've ever objected to it is when they took $5 million from the military in order to be publicly patriotic on Sundays. Every other time, we're good with football's greed, even if it puts the liability on the customer. And frankly, it's smart business for them to do it. They should try to do it because they get away with everything when it comes to health risks.
Yeah, see, Dan, you're saying liability. This reeks as a move to me to limit litigation over liability, because how the hell do you even prove that you caught the coronavirus at said NFL game that you attend? And frankly, if your first priority in the middle of a pandemic, as the numbers are soaring countrywide, is to go sit your butt in the stands and take that type of risk, I'm not exactly sure that you're being incredibly careful in your regular life anyway. I think that the safeguards and the protocols that they're sort of throwing out there, possibly temperature checks, or, you know, they're going to force people to wear a mask. They'll have hand sanitizing stations. Here's one thing that I did notice from some of these reports. They're talking about something called a biological passport. I didn't know what that was, and so I Googled it, and it involves blood and urine samples. And I don't know anyone besides Mina Kimes, of course, that would be willing to do those kinds of things just to go watch a game in person. That seems nuts.
She would. She would. Plasma. She'd donate plasma. She would.
She already has. But for me, guys, this is a move that may limit legal consequences, but not the other consequences. And the other consequences of a pandemic are the ones that we should all be concerned about. So, for instance, I don't mind if someone signs a waiver to get in a cage and swim with sharks. I don't mind if someone signs a waiver to jump out of a plane with a parachute. But I think everyone would have a problem if part of your skydiving experience involved you, against their will, forcing your parents to come along with you without their knowledge. I think tandem skydiving with unwilling and terrified old people that are related to you that weren't aware they were going to do that is probably going to be a big problem for everybody. And that's what this liability waiver reminds me of.
That's such a great analogy, because it really, I think it cuts to the heart of this issue, which is really complicated, by the way, because it raises questions about, you know, personal responsibility, corporate responsibility, the role of government, free will. Some guy at home is watching this show and saying, what is happening right now on ESPN? It's easy to argue, look, if somebody wants to take on this sort of risk, that is up to them. And Dan, you are right, by the way, to draw a clear line between that and what's been said about NFL players for years. But as Pablo astutely just pointed out, it's not just about them. You don't just wear a mask to protect yourself. You wear a mask to protect others. And thousands of people congregating, even if they have decided they are okay with that decision, will then go out into the world. And that falls on the NFL in all of this.
Who's signing the paperwork at that Vanilla Ice July 4th barbecue in Dallas that's going to have a gathering that is unhealthy?
Oh, guys, I had the worst tweet in response to that, and I'm so worried people will see it, and now I'm bringing it up on national television.
What happened?
Okay, it's late at night. A tired Mina Kimes sees this tweet about a Vanilla Ice concert, and she writes...
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Yes, here we go.
Oh,
here
no.
we go.
Do?
A tired Mina Kimes. Go ahead. Let's see if you can get through this. What is the tweet that you sent out as a joke on Vanilla Ice?
What did you say?
Can't touch.
She's not going to be able to get it out. We're not going to understand her. She's going to squeak. She's going to giggle.
No. I wrote back. Can't.
She's in another decibel.
The face and voice of the NFL on ESPN.
Coming up next on my son's TV show,
$15 an article, city council meetings on sewage. I'm not making that up. That's not a fond memory, though. It's just an awful one. And then I built a career atop that sewage.
Highly Questionable is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach, part of happy hour. The Thunder, or really the Sonics, decided to draft Russell Westbrook after they found him 2 hours before his draft workout sleeping in his car. What's your fondest memory of grinding for a job early in your career?
A fondest memory? Because I just have sort of like bad ones covering city council meetings about sewage making. I'm not making this up. $15 an article, city council meetings on sewage. I'm not making that up. That's not a fond memory, though. It's just an awful one. And then I built a career atop that sewage.
I also don't have a fun one, only an awful one, and that was my job in college. I worked at a falafel restaurant, making falafel, cooking, you know, pitas and that sort of thing, cleaning bathrooms, basically doing everything my boss asked me to do, including bidding up stuff he was selling on eBay. I think I might be admitting to a crime here, but if you bought a piece of lawn equipment circa 2006 and was wondering why someone in New Haven, Connecticut kept competing against you, that was me.
I was rejected from a job I applied for at Dunkin' Donuts after I graduated from high school, so that doesn't count. But actually does, how about this? Because this was relatively early in my career at ESPN. How about the time Dan forced me to eat a plastic jar of pickled pig's feet on television? Yes. One of the ingredients was, and I quote, red number 40. Yeah, and I did it for 3 hours on live TV. It tasted like cannibalism.
That's disgusting. My first job in sports radio, and I say job because they called it an internship so they didn't have to pay me, was doing a 15-minute entertainment report. So I had to have a real job. So I got a job at a hair salon right next door in downtown Atlanta, and I worked it out. So on my lunch breaks, I would go over and do the radio show real fast before I'd come over and wash hair. And it cost more money to park in that building than I was actually making a day. So I worked out a deal with the dudes down in the loading dock to where I could, you know, hook them up with free tickets and stuff in order to park there for free. But in order to get the free tickets from my sports radio show, I had to hook him up with free haircuts. So basically, I didn't eat lunch for an entire year. I was doing a lot of handing out.
That is a hustle, man.
It seems like you guys were involved in a lot of Ponzi
crime.
Pig feet, Pablo. You ate pig feet. I just want to establish that.
Disgusting.
But how, it was like a corpse drowned in acid.
Look, it's good video and it's a good story, but how spoiled is this guy that his story of grinding is having to eat something on ESPN? Like, unbelievable, dude.
Highly Questionable is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Do you question if Mohamed Sanu is small?
All right, so Mohamed Sanu is working out with his new quarterback. They're reunited now, and his new quarterback is large. So is Mohamed Sanu small based on what it is you're seeing here?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
He looks like Spud Webb.
Yeah, wide receiver bodies, that's what they look like, incidentally, shredded underneath there. And yes, Cam Newton is an enormous athlete. I felt like we knew that. I felt like what we should have done there is shown people how lean Zion Williamson looks right now.
Yeah, you're right to point out. I think people forget how big Cam Newton is. I was on Radio Row at the Super Bowl this year, and when he walked by, it literally cast a shadow over the radio units. But I want to say, Dan, for those who are maybe like, oh, wow, look at that discrepancy in size, people of different sizes can work together well. I mean, it happens every day.
Unbelievable. I knew that was going to happen. I felt like she was going to do that. Yes, look at that. That is totally distorted. That is not right. I guess while we're doing this, we should put up that photo of Stan Van Gundy with Boban as well, since we're just throwing it to videos.
By the way, whenever you tell someone at ESPN when you're new that you're a Dan Le Batard fan, they don't first mention like how good he is or funny or his long career. They go, do you know how big that man is? He's sneaky, incredibly large. They do that every single time, by the way. It's a thing that happens. Cam Newton to me is basically the Jason Hayward of baseball. There's only been a couple of guys where I look at them and I'm like, how the hell do you play the sport that you play? Have you guys ever seen Jason Hayward? He is built like a giant linebacker. There is no way that man is a baseball player.
I feel like a lot of people are also intrigued by me because I show up and I am all of 5'10" and people are like, wow, you're a lot taller than I thought you were. And I'm like, that seems very insulting to me because really I'm absolutely average normal height. Why would anybody think otherwise?
Guys, can Pablo find every way to make every story about himself? Yes, is the answer to that.
By the way, did you know that I am as tall as Mike Tyson, who is only 5'10"? I actually weigh more than Oscar De La Hoya. Yeah. Like, you want to feel good about yourself? Look at how boxers are actually quite small. I am bigger than those guys.
Wait, did you Google boxers that are my height just so you can feel better about yourself, Pablo?
Been making the joke around here for a while that Mina is the one with all the podcasts, but now Pablo has a podcast that starts in August. Unfortunately, it's the one that he borrowed hand-me-down from Mina Kimes, ESPN Daily. You could see Mina Kimes. You could get what she has, Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, and you could catch Elle Duncan on SportsCenter. Thank you for watching.
Let me have something.
She did. She let you have her show.
It's like two roundhouse kicks independently landing on my face.